Bible says that every word that fulfills, that comes out from the mouth of God. It comes to fulfill a purpose, and it doesn't return back to Him void. So today I want you to put everything aside and get your hearts and your souls and your minds ready for the word of God. In this moment, I want someone to lift up their voice and say something to the Lord. As a matter of fact, can we all rise on our feet? And I want you to tell the Lord your expectation in this point in time. Tell the Lord what you're expecting from Him. If it be that you have a specific need, ask Him to turn. If it's for you today, ask the Lord if He has to change the message, that He should change it. Whilst I invite our brother and our very own friend.
In front of the church, and also to preach the word of God to the congregation. And I'm most grateful in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, it is your will that I stand here this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to deliver your word to your people. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I stand here, I pray that whatever I say, any word that comes out of my mouth, will be from you. Let your people hear your word. May they not hear words from me, but words from you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Okay, so today our Bible text will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. Luke is the second gospel after the book of Matthew. So if you are struggling to find where it is, it's the second book right after Matthew. And I read Luke chapter 12, verse 13. 221. The parable of the rich fool. Verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in abundance of the things he possesses." Verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" Verse 18. So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Verse 21. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Amen.
Amen.
And the title of my message this morning, or this afternoon, is a question that I'll put to everybody: where is your life? where is your life? As human beings, we find ourselves working. Some of us have traveled from various places into this country. We wake up every morning, we go out. We are just struggling to get the money. After the money, we just have to build ourselves houses, buy cars, you know, everything, get the latest phones. But the one most important question that I want to ask you this morning is, where is your life? Are you aware that when you die, there's a place for you to go and there's a place for you to be? So whilst you are on this earth, the question I'm asking is, where would your life be? After all these struggles, after all going through all these things, where are you going in the afterlife? You know, life is not really about all these things that we struggle for to get. It is good that we have them, yes. Like as you can see, most of us are looking very nice this morning. It's good. It's good to eat well. It's good to have the car. It makes life easier. But life is not necessarily about all these things that we always struggle to get. There's more to life. And that is why, as a believer, as a member of MCAG, it is very important that you give your life to Christ, or you give your life to God, because the main reason is God is a giver of life. He's the only one whom, if you trust and if you give your all to, he's going to give you life after everything. In every situation of our life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, no matter how it is, he is the giver of life. You have to know within yourself, you have to believe that he is the giver of life. And so, as he is the giver of life, you should know his ways. You should know his ways by reading the Bible, by following his words. And I want us to read something from the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, yeah. And the Lord God formed man of the dust. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So like I'm saying, God, when he created man, he breathed into us the breath of life. And so whatever we do, whatever we say, I am in our going in and our coming in, we should know that there's somebody who gives us life, and that we should trust him. We should know him. We should have a daily walk with him, always and every time. Our life is in the hands of God, because he definitely puts those breath into us. And so as we work every day, we should be conscious that at the end of the day, they are going to account to somebody who breathed into us some breath. And so when we are going to work, when we are dealing with people, we should be conscious about this and make sure we are following his ways, we are doing his deeds, and make sure at the end of the day we are obedient to his word. Because in the end, we would have to account for the life that he gave us. Matthew 16:26. Yeah. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So like I've already said, we may do all the hard work, we may struggle to get all the money, we may fight for power in this world, but what shall you gain? Are you going to profit if you gain all these things and at the end of the day you lose your life? What is going to be the essence of all those things that you struggle to get? Amen. So this tells us that our life, with all the things that we've read and all the scriptures that we've read and all the things I've said, this shows us that our life is not of us. There's somebody that we would have to account for. There's somebody at the end of the day who is going to ask us, when you came into this world, the life I gave you, what did you do with that life? And so this morning, I just want you to be conscious of this word, Be conscious of it. Think about it and ask yourself, what am I, where would I be after death? Where am I going to be? Is my life going to God? Am I going to account very well? Am I going to be very accountable to God? Or I'm not going to be able to do this at the end of the day. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 6. So, the Lord is the one that killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. You know, God, we owe our life to God. He's the one who, when he says this, it happens. Whatever he does, whatever he says, whatever he thinks, he is God. He's the one, regardless of everything, he is God. He's the one who can kill and one who can give life. And so we should be mindful of the things and our ways in this world. We should be mindful of our ways in this world and make sure that we give our all to God, because he is the giver of life. We should make sure that whatever we do, we are doing it to the glory of God. Whatever we do, we are doing it to make sure that at the end of the day, when Jesus comes or when God returns in his glory, we wouldn't be fumbling. Amen. The second thing I'll be talking about would be that he's the sustainer of our lives. God is the sustainer of our lives. Psalm 121 verse 1. Lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Let's continue. Verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Please continue. I think we are going to read the whole chapter. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time, from this time forth and even forevermore. So what we just read from the book of Psalm 21 from the verse 1 to 8, it tells us that God is the one who sustains us. It's not by our strength or by anything. He said he will guide our footsteps. He is the God who neither sleeps nor slumber. He is that God, and he's the one who sustains our life. And so whatever we do in all our doings, in all our sayings, and all our actions, we must know and believe that he's the sustainer of our lives. There are, most of the time, people say, oh, I'm struggling so much. I'm going through this thing. And so let me just pass corner. Let me just cut corners and do this thing. Once you believe in the word of God that he's the one who sustains you, he's not going to look at you for you to, how do I even put it? He's not going to just look at you for you to go through all the struggles of life, for you to not make heaven at the end of the day. Regardless of the situation you are going to be in, he's going to sustain your life. And as such, you own it unto him, that you give your all to him and make sure at the end of the day you'll be able to account very well when he comes. And the last thing I will speak about, that he's the rewarder of life. And I'll read the books, 1 Peter 1. 3 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 5. verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Then you give me John 3:36. I would have to combine all of them and speak about it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Then the last one, Luke 18:28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." Please continue. And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, 30, who shall not receive manifold more in his present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Amen. So, when you combine all these three scriptures that we've read, you know that God is going to reward us after we die and go. He's going to reward the kind of life that we came to live. And so whatever we are going to say, this should remind us that in whatever we do, he's going to reward us. And you can see from the last scripture we read that nobody who has left his parents' house, who has left his possessions, who has left everything that they have and followed Jesus Christ or followed God, that God has not given them anything. And if you continue to read, it says all the things that you are going to get is an everlasting life. It's an everlasting life. It's not the kind of life that sometimes when you go to the hospital, we do transplant and few years later you are dying. This is the kind of life that is going to last forever, and it's never going to end. And so this morning, this is the message that I am giving to you, that as you move about, as you are working, as you are going to school, as you go about your daily activities, where is going to be your life after all these things? Where is going to be your life after the world ends? Where is going to be your life? Think about this and give your life to God. Think about this and give your life to Jesus Christ. Think about this and make sure you give your whole life and everything you do to Jesus. Amen. So, let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless you that you have given us this word. That's where is our life going to be after we've left this earth? Oh, thank you, God. Everywhere anyone is struggling, whether it's an addiction, any kind of sin, anything that anybody is struggling to deal with, Father, as we've heard your word today, in the name of Jesus, help them overcome. But at the end of the day, when you appear in your glory, we will be able to account very well unto you. Father, help us stay in you. Help us abide in you, and help us follow your word day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I would like to invite our host pastor to just come in. Bless us even further.
the Lord. The giver of your life, your up and downs, God is protecting you. He gave you life and is protecting you and is sustaining you. If you don't know him and you live up to 100 years, it's just a waste of time. You have to go and meet your maker one day. And when you go and there's nothing you can say, or if you don't have that relationship with him, it means you wasted that long life that you have lived. Pray and ask God. If you don't have that relationship with him, ask the Lord, come into my heart. I want to know you. I want to have that relationship with you. I want to live for you. And I want to be rewarded.
For you, O God, reward us, O God,
Holy Ghost, touch your people now. We are not just here to socialize with one another. We are here to see you as our God. We are here to come and worship you as our sustainer.
That's powerful. God richly bless you. We are going to take our Kofini Amma. As we all know, today is a special day. And every second Sunday is Kofini Amma. Amen. So let's get prepared as we are going to do it. Then we have one or two song ministrations. Then we depart from here. Hallelujah. So please, let's start. Please, ushers, I need the envelope. I need 7 envelopes.